A teacher has been suspended after shooting a student during an exam. The Voyager 1 space probe is talking nonsense, and it has NASA worried. Russia and China are planning to put a nuclear power plant on the moon. These are the weird stories for Thursday on Weird AF News, the only daily weird news podcast. The only, take two, beep, the only daily weird news podcast that someday will be on the moon. Nah. A teacher has been suspended after allegedly shooting a student during an exam. This teacher takes the testing process very, very seriously. Clearly. I said, pencils down! No talking during the exam! Or else. Say hello to my little friend. We have here a teacher at a medical school in Bangladesh. The teacher has been suspended. Probably should be fired. I know, that's my hot take. If a teacher shoots a student, might want to fire him. You're really going to bring this guy back to the campus? Okay, let's keep reading and before we judge. So the teacher has been suspended 2 days after the alleged shooting and injuring of the student during the classroom test. The teacher's name is Rehan Sharif. Rehan was arrested shortly afterwards, but was only suspended following a protest by the students at the medical college where the shooting took place. So they didn't even suspend him until the students had a protest. Yeah, okay. What did they think, huh? You're going to rehabilitate this guy? He shot a student during an exam. Wow. And then it's only a suspension. I love that. They thought, nah, let's not fire him. I'll give him a solid week suspension. That should turn his attitude around. Hey. The injured student has undergone surgery, but will recover and remains in the hospital, thankfully. I'm wondering if they're going to allow the student to retake the test after the student's release from the hospital. Probably just give him a free pass on that one, maybe. Here's some details about how it went down. The student's name is Arafat Amin Tamal, 23 years old, student at a medical college in a place called Siranjganj, which is in northwestern Bangladesh. Arafat got into an argument with Dr. Sharif while undertaking an oral exam last week. During the exam, Dr. Sharif allegedly brought out a gun and pointed it at Arafat, shooting him in the right knee, according to reports. The bullet hit Mr. Amin's mobile phone in the pocket of his trousers, which spared him life-threatening injuries, according to the media. There were 45 total students in the class, they say, when the alleged shooting took place. The students rushed to help. They locked the teacher in a room and called the police. Dr. Sharif was then arrested and taken into custody. In a statement, police say Dr. Sharif shot the student with an illegal pistol. Police say, in addition to the gun, they found a second pistol, 81 rounds of bullets, 4 magazines, 2 knives, and 10 daggers, all in the teacher's bag. The teacher brought a whole arsenal to class for some reason. 4 magazines, 2 knives, and 10 daggers? How many kids did the teacher expect to cheat on this exam? This guy's got problems. But, I mean, if you were to ask him, he'd probably be happy to report, I have 0% cheating rate in my classroom. Some say it's because I'm a good shot with a crossbow. It says the teacher's suspension was prompted by a protest held by the students at the medical school who demanded his immediate dismissal and severe punishment. Police say that a special committee has been formed to investigate the circumstances surrounding this shooting. You know, even if they fire him, they'll just transfer him to another school. This is what they always do. They always look out for their own. These school districts, well, I don't know how it is in Bangladesh, but in the States. By the way, in the States, they want to arm the teachers. So let's think about that a little more before we decide to arm the teachers in the U.S. Now, the article ends by saying such incidents are rare in Bangladesh, where gun ownership and usage are strictly regulated by the government. That would explain all the knives and daggers that this guy had. Whenever you see a country where gun ownership is limited, they tend to use a lot of knives and daggers and crossbows and the like. This guy, though, I guess it remains to be seen whether he'll get his job back. Can you imagine what a parent-teacher meeting is with this guy? Well, your son is a very good student. Haven't had to shoot him one time. The Voyager 1 spacecraft is talking nonsense, and it has some people at NASA very worried. Voyager 1 is a space probe, pretty famous when it comes to space probes. It was launched in the summer of 77 from Cape Canaveral, Florida. It's a Florida space probe, so you can't expect it to work forever. Voyager 1 is over 15 billion miles away, did you know? Very far. Beyond what many consider to be the edge of the solar system. Yet ever since mid-November, the Voyager 1 spacecraft has been sending messages back to Earth that don't make any sense at all. It's as if the aging spacecraft has suffered some kind of stroke that's interfering with its ability to speak. Well, did they try turning it off and then on again? That usually does the trick. When my devices are acting strange, I just turn them off and back on again. That usually does the trick. We have a woman named Suzanne who works at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, near where I'm recording this very podcast. Suzanne says, quote, "The Voyager basically stopped talking to us in a coherent manner, and we think it's a very serious problem." I'd love to see some of these messages that it's sending back. Is it like, "Marco Polo, Marco Polo, LMAO, LMAO, LOL. I don't know what you expect from a 45-year-old space probe. I mean, at the age of 45, everybody's systems start breaking down, right? You start talking gibberish. You start talking to yourself. You forget to leave the stove on when you exit the house. All of these problems come about. It says here, instead of sending messages home in binary code, Voyager 1 is now just sending back alternating ones and zeros. Suzanne's team has tried the usual tricks to reset things, but with no luck, it seems. Suzanne says it appears there's a problem with the Voyager's onboard computer that takes data and packages it up to send home. All of this computer technology is primitive compared to, say, the key fob that unlocks your car door. So you're dealing with very primitive computer hardware anyways in the first place. You got to expect it to get a little nutso over time. Plus, it's been just bombarded with radiation for several decades, it seems. Ground control to Major Tom. The circuit's dead. There's something wrong. Can you hear me, Major Tom? Perhaps the Voyager has contracted space madness. I've seen some movies where if you stay up there long enough, you get the space madness. I've seen things you humans wouldn't believe. It says here the Voyager 1 and its twin Voyager 2 have outlasted many of those who designed and built them. So to try to fix Voyager 1's current issues, the dozen or so people at NASA have had to pore over yellowed documents and old mimeographs. Mimeographs? What are those? Are those what you call the cave drawings? Here's a quote from Suzanne. They're doing a lot of work to try and get into the heads of the original developers and figure out why they designed something the way they did and what we could possibly try that might give us some answers to what's going wrong with the spacecraft right now. Well, I wonder if they've considered an alternate theory that perhaps the Voyager 1 has been hacked by aliens. And I guess we'll find out when we get that ransom email. We have your space probe. And we are demanding $1 million. What? Excuse me, what? Oh, I'm sorry. We demand 30 million space dollars. Now, the people at NASA say this is a painstaking process, getting the Voyager to communicate in a coherent manner that could take weeks or even months. Voyager 1 is so far away, it takes almost a whole day for a signal to travel out there and then another whole day for its response to return back to Earth. Even if NASA's experts and consultants somehow come up with a miraculous plan that can get Voyager 1 back to normal, its time is running out. These Voyager probes are powered by plutonium, but that power system will eventually run out of juice. Mission managers have turned off heaters and taken other measures to conserve power in order to extend the Voyager probe's lifespan as it is. In just a couple of years, the ebbing power supply will force managers on Earth to begin turning off the scientific instruments on Voyager one by one anyway. The very last instrument might keep going until around 2030 or so at the latest. When the power runs out and the probes are lifeless, both of these legendary space probes will basically become space junk. Sounds to me like these space probes are just like our U.S. politicians, talking gibberish, and they've long outlived their usefulness. Am I right, guys?
Yay!
China and Russia are planning to put a nuclear power plant on the moon. Look at that, guys. Two space stories in this episode of Weird AF News. We have here Russia and China. By the way, two countries that haven't even put a man on the moon yet. They want to put a nuclear power plant on the moon. How about you start with a building first? It says they're planning on putting a nuclear power plant on the moon around 2033 or 2035. This is according to somebody named Yuri Borisov, the head of Russia's space agency. The two countries, Russia and China, are collaborating on the International Lunar Research Station, a massive complex on the moon that is set to break ground in 2026. Now, this proposed lunar base will have a radius of nearly 4 miles, larger than any Disney theme park, and it will house various scientists who plan on deeply studying the properties of the moon. We have a quote here from this guy, Borisov, who says, "Today we are seriously considering a project somewhere at the turn of 2033-2035 to deliver and install a power unit on the lunar surface together with our Chinese colleagues. Solar panels would not be able to provide enough electricity to power future lunar settlements, but nuclear power can." Wow, so they want to put that nuclear power up there. Lunar Chernobyl is going to be off the hook, guys. Am I right? Lunar Chernobyl. Come on now. Borisov spoke about Russian plans to build a nuclear-powered cargo spaceship as well. He said all the technical questions concerning the project had been solved, apart from finding a solution on how to cool the nuclear reactor in space. He says, "We are indeed working on a space tugboat." Tugboat? Okay. "This huge cyclopean structure that would be able to, thanks to nuclear reactor and high-powered turbines, to transport large cargoes from one orbit to another, collect space debris, and engage in many other applications." Oh, what other applications is that, Mr. Borisov? Blasting rockets at countries that you disapprove of back down on Earth? I don't think we should allow these two countries to have a base up there. That's just my two cents. You know, I did some research recently asking who owns the moon, and I'm coming up empty on that. I don't think anybody owns it. So I guess any one of us could just make plans to build stuff on the moon. How about we start with mini golf? Oh, that would be fun. Some mini golf on the moon. That'd be wild. It says here, Russian officials have spoken before of these ambitious plans to one day mine on the moon, but the Russian space program has suffered a series of setbacks in recent years. Its first moon mission in 47 years failed last year after Russia's Luna 25 spacecraft spun out of control and crashed. All right, so now in the context of that, you can see how ambitious and pretty ridiculous it is for Russia to make plans to build a nuclear power plant on the moon. Maybe scale down, Russia. How about you start with a couple of windmills? Yeah. Maybe a coal plant first. Maybe if you could get a car battery up there. I mean, I would clap for you if you could do that. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round, I get to find. Oh man, I think I am at home. Oh no, 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 I'm a Voyager. Voyager! And I've been speaking so much crap. So much nonsense. Hi. Thank you for spending a little time with the Weird AF News podcast, learning a little bit about space today. That's pretty important, right? We need to know about what's going on up there in space, guys. Space. It's important. Maybe one day I'll be the only podcast up in space. That could be a goal if I live that long. I want to thank everybody who sent me messages and made lovely comments. I even got someone that I have someone here that bought me some coffees named Kiara. Kiara bought me coffees off my website, weirdafnews.com. That's a place where you can go to buy me coffee or join the Patreon. Kiara bought me coffees and then wrote this lovely message. I've been meaning to do this for a while and finally have a chance to do so, Jonesy. I randomly started listening one day when I saw the podcast listed as an option for my morning routine on my Google Home. You're the perfect silly end to my morning routine after listening to all the sad and serious news first. I also love that you connect with your listeners. It feels like I'm supporting a friend and not just a random guy recording in his closet. Thanks for adding some light to my mornings. Isn't that a nice message? It's very touching. So I want to give Kiara a nice shout out and tell her how much I appreciate this message and the coffees. You guys know what I drink a lot of coffees. So anytime you want to buy me some coffees, just go to weirdafnews.com. That's how you can do it. Anyways, thank you so much for supporting the show. So appreciate it. Now listen, guys, tomorrow is Friday, so we'll be doing only news from Florida. If you come across any weird news from Florida, don't hesitate for a second to email that to me. It's funnyjones@gmail.com. You can also call the show, 646-450-2012. If you would like to leave a voicemail, I'm going to publish a couple of calls after this if you want to stick around and listen to some listeners. Listen to some listeners. Lastly, I got some shows this weekend in Hollywood, Friday night, so tomorrow night and Saturday night. If you're in the area, please check out my Instagram, @FunnyJones. That has all the information about my shows. Appreciate you guys, and we'll see you tomorrow for Florida Friday. And good luck with your life, man!
Jonesy, bro, it's anonymous. First of all, love your show. Love what you do. Keep grinding. Keep doing. You feel me? Keep doing you. I have a real quick question. Just a real quick question. Did you listen to the voicemail where the dude called you from jail? He explained... I don't want to repeat the situation because if y'all know, y'all know. Y'all listen to the show. I just want to know, so did the dog, do you think the dog got it all out? Like, if the dog was using his tongue, did he get it all out? That's all I want to know. But that's, you know what? Yeah, love the show, bro.
I got a Big Mac in my closet. Yeah, I've got rappers in my closet. My wife, she told me that I don't mind. Yeah, my wife, she told me I was fine. I got Big Mac wrappers in my closet. My wife accidentally tripped on it. She said, hey, honey, don't worry about those habits. So, yeah, I've got Big Mac wrappers in my closet. I like pickles and onions and lettuce and tomatoes and sometimes a little bit of bacon. My cholesterol's at 165 and it's a little high, but that doesn't matter. Because I got big, big, Big Macs in my closet. And I've got McDonald's fries up on my porch. I've got pickles and lettuce all over my carpet. And yes, I've got cookies in my bed. But listen, I've got big, big, Big Macs in my closet. I've got lettuce and pickles all over my carpet. I've got cookies in my bed. And I've got fries all over my chair. Do you want a milkshake with that? No, I don't think so. 'Cause I got big, big, big Macs in my closet.
Arr, Jonesy, it's Captain Bly. Not Captain Bly, but Captain Bly. And I heard your story about the humpback whales humping each other. Jonesy, gay whales, they're just friendly. And men being together, that's just the way of the sea. It gets lonely out here after so many days and nights out here on the open sea without any women around. It's just natural that we're going to get together. It's just the way of the world, the way of the lonely sea, the way of the sailor, the way of the aquatic animals, Jonesy. It's only natural. Jonesy, you asked what movie they might name this footage that these humans are capturing of these whales getting together. Well, it's obvious. It's going to be Humpback Spoutin'. Arr! Blow me down, Jonesy. Jonesy, you haven't gotten back with me about getting with me, Jonesy. I'm going to keep on you, Jonesy, one way or the other. You know, I've got me peg leg, and there's other ways I can take you too, Jonesy. I'm gonna keep getting you, Jonesy, keep talking to you, keep wearing you down. I wish I could quit you, Jonesy. That's the famous line from the movie. I wish I could quit you, Jonesy, but I can't! Captain Bly's gonna get you one way or another. Jonesy, you can blow me down!
Hey, Jonesy, it's Michael calling from Iowa City. And on the Monday podcast, at the very end of it, on the outros, you were doing your outros, and you were saying, here's the phone number if you want to call in, and here's my email address. And then you said, I'm going to keep this very brief. And then you said, oh, yeah, one more thing. And then there was silence. Was that intentional? Were you, did something go wrong? Was there a technical difficulty? Or was the, oh, yeah, one more thing, and then cut to silence? Was that your impression of the ending of the Sopranos series where everything just suddenly cuts to black? I just kind of was like waiting. Okay, one more thing. Okay, what's it going to be? And then there's just complete silence, dead air. I'm waiting. Nothing's there. And I thought, okay, he's either being clever or there was a technical difficulty. And I thought, this could be his little tribute to the Sopranos, where the scene cuts to black and everyone thinks their cable went out or whatever. So I either thought it was cool and I was impressed by that, or there was a technical difficulty. Either way, I was just kind of left hanging there, and I thought all the other listeners are going to be just like that as well. So it was either pretty cool of you or there was a glitch. Either way, we're all just left hanging, just like the final series finale of The Sopranos. So either way, it was effective or a cruel joke. All right. I wonder what other widows thought about it and if anyone else is calling you. Either way, take care and good luck with your life, man. Dead air silence. I'm still here. Ha ha ha.
Yay!